moment just to be with you, to gather our thoughts, to comprehend, and to just ask God, what are you going to say to us, God, today? This isn't so much a preach from me to you. It's about your time with the Father. It's about your time to hear him, your time to be touched by him. I love that Romans 8 example. We don't know what to pray for. Amazing. We don't know one who just gives us an unction, just says, what about just giving someone a call? What about that person who's lost their wife last week? I bet he needs a call. Person who needs an arm around him. And that's what God wants us to be. He wants us to be sensitive to his Holy Spirit. But, you know, we think of God and we want to scream him down. We think of God and we sometimes feel we could scream heaven onto earth. But if you come to see God, you know that God rests in the silence. I'm very privileged to live with someone who enjoys prayer and enjoys silence. And it has been such a revelation to me over the years, as I've, you know, oftentimes preached at big events, and sometimes you're never going to match the person who just went before you. You're never going to speak quite like the last speaker or whatever. But it's not about that. It's about us and the Father. It's about us knowing God and God knowing us. So I'd like you to have your, first of all, have your pens and paper out. Have your phones ready. And the reason is, every one of us is supposed to give an answer for the hope that's in us. So I hope that there'll be something today that's said that's going to say to you, gosh, I need to maybe share this on the bus when I'm going to town because this person's just expressed this to me. Listen in silence, share the same letters. Could be a coincidence. But it's an amazing ability we have when we're silent to listen to God. I once went to become a counselor, having come from being a business mentor. Business mentors, the people pay you a lot of money to come in, search out what's wrong with the problem, what's wrong with a company, and then just basically they pay you a lot of money to do that, if you've solved the problem. Mentoring is allowing someone to speak to you and allowing them to hear the voice of their soul speaking their own problems. They have to find a resolution within themselves. And sometimes we are always find ourselves speaking to God. We're just speaking continuously. In fact, Stephen Covey, someone who I quoted a lot when I was in business, his fifth habit of how to be highly effective as a person was seek first to understand and then to be understood. Seek first to understand. And there's so much that God wants to show us in his word. In James 4:3, it says, when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. We just don't know what to ask for. We don't know how to pray. We're always asking for something, oftentimes, it's just not what we need. What we need is more of God. What we need is more of his presence. What we need is for him to come into our lives. So there's three, I guess every good teaching's got to have 3 points. There's three things I want to express us today, about whether God is speaking. Secondly, what stops us from hearing God? And thirdly, how does God speak? So first of all, we as human beings are so curious. We are so endlessly curious. We send things up into space, billions and billions of pounds we'll expend to find out if there's life on another planet. Is there water on the moon? And we'll spend billions looking for water when we're unwilling to feed those who are thirsty. We'll spend billions rather than looking at those that are here on our globe, on our earth, that are really in such dire need. But we are curious. We're endlessly looking at the cosmos, endlessly looking at the atom, endlessly looking to try and find what is the solution. And God says in Romans chapter 1, verse 24, that for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that we are without excuse. It's quite a statement. You cannot look at this world and consider that there's no creator. His marking is in everything. I developed a PowerPoint slide. I decided I wasn't going to do it, but it had just gorgeous, gorgeous birds of the most incredible color. I had sunsets. I remember you had sunset when you're on a romantic time with your husband or wife, and you just look and you think, God, that's incredible. Or you look at a vast ocean that has, you can't see anything but ocean, think, God, this is amazing. And yet what he says is that when you look up into the universe, a universe that's has 100 billion galaxies, of 100 billion stars per galaxy, you are looking up into an amazing thing called the universe. God said he spoke it into being. He just spoke it into being. This is a God that we're dealing with that's so awesome, so amazing, that our minds can't quite comprehend who he is. And that's why we come to the gospel. But he says that although they knew God, in verse Romans 1:24, although they knew him, there's righteous decrees that those who do such things deserve death. Though they knew him, but they turned away from God. They knew him, but they did not want to know the Creator. And that's the saddest thing of life. You know, we grow up, and some of us, and we have children. And the most dire thing we want is that they understand how much we love them. That we love them, that we love them, that we love them. We'll be there for them. We'll stand by them. We'll in the good times or the bad, and that's what God wants his people to know. He is Almighty Creator, and his love has been poured out onto this world. He has given the world everything. There is no excuse. There is no excuse, but it says there that we don't want him, and we go against him, and we actually approve of people who go against him. And I don't know, this could be today's news. We're in a world that just wants to speak against God. We're in a world that wants to turn away from God. They want to anything, they'll accept anything bar the Creator. And they'll take anything, even AI, artificial intelligence, they prefer over God's intelligence. Yes. And they're completely always making something to try and disprove that God is God. But we are without excuse, because there's a day coming when each and every one of us will give testimony of the life that we live, and we are without excuse. So God speaks through creation. It's the first way he speaks to us. We asked, what do you want to be thankful for today? How about fresh air?
Yes.
He could stop it tomorrow. He could stop it today. He could stop it in the next hour. He could stop it now. It's over. We thank God for fresh air. Thank God for fresh water. That you just turned your tap on it, and you didn't have to walk down to the stream 2 miles and carry it back on your head. We got so much to thank God for. For the mountains and the seas and the land that we stand on, this globe. We talked about the rock today, standing upon the rock. We're standing on a ball of earth that is just beyond belief, has a touch of the Master's hand. Louis Giglio has an amazing DVD. I don't know if you've ever seen it. Indescribable. It's just gorgeous. He talks about things that are beyond me. You know, I can't work out how God's measuring stick could be a light year, 186,000 miles a second. That's how God measures out. And that's, if you look at a light year, it's 186,000 miles a second going on for the length of a human earth lifetime. Okay, so you've got one earth year, and we're speeding through at 186,000 miles per second. That's one light year. And we're dealing with a God who is in a galaxy of billions of light years. Do you get it? Why does he have interest in us? God, why do you bother with us? Why do you even care about us? Why do you even want to know us? But God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He loves you. He loves you. And he wants you to know him. Psalm 19:1 says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. We are without excuse. So what stops us? We asked today, what stops you from worshipping? What stops you from worship? What stops you from coming before God? from being able to just say, Father, that's it. I want to know you. Fill me with your goodness. Let me just be the son you want me to be, the daughter you want me to be. Ephesians 2 talks about a creature that was found in Genesis. He was in the garden, that even the very word that God spoke to Adam and Eve, the serpent, was found and wanted to corrupt it. What stops you from hearing the voice of God? It's Ephesians 2 says there's the prince of the power of the air. There's this prince called Satan, and he lives in the space of the airwaves. And today, if you could calculate the amount of airwaves that are flying through this room just now, it's incredible, coming from every device that we have. And Satan dominates the airwaves. He dominates the media. He dominates everything he's trying to put upon us. And he captivates us for one commodity called time. It says he comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. His number one target is he'll steal your time. I'll tell you, it is amazing. I was sitting in a room the other day, and someone was having a prophetic word. And he said, so what's God asking me to give up? What's God saying to you, you've got to stop? And I said, well, I'm here. I need to be part of this meeting. Lord, what should I be stopping? And he says, you spend too much time on those reels. You ever do those reels? Go on YouTube, and you're going one more. No, you're running into town, and you've got like 20 minutes left. You just go through a reel. Sometimes it's politics. Another time it's something funny. And you just find yourself, he said, stop it. I was like, you got to be kidding. Seriously. I went up to the pastor afterwards and said, God, just reprove me for reels, those one-minute reels. What does God want you to stop today? What are you doing that he would prefer you didn't do? What are you allowing that's stealing your time away from his precious, precious heart? What are you doing that he wishes you wouldn't? What are you allowing into your life that God would rather you close the door on? That's what he's asking each and every one of us. He steals our time, the most precious commodity we have. He wants to kill the relationship that we want to develop with God. He wants to kill it in any way possible. He wants ultimately to try and destroy you. This is serious. There's nothing passive about this. He wants to steal, kill, destroy. That's his agenda. And Jesus wants to give us life. Life in all its fullness. So God's always speaking to us, but we have to hear. So this is a thing called a hearing aid. Oh, sorry, I can't hear myself. This is a thing called a hearing aid, and it's given to people who have a problem with hearing. I would say most Christians have a problem with hearing. They really do. I would say most Christians should have a spiritual set of hearing aids. Do you ever see that? Remember that dog, the lovely dog you'd see, and it had, you'd have to go back a few years, okay? I'm not speaking to anyone under the age of maybe 30, but it used to have a big gramophone, and the dog would be sitting there in the mouth of the ground. He was fascinated that he could hear his master's voice. And that's how we should be when Psalm 91 says that we've been invited into the secret place. God, let's just be honest for a second. If you were asked by, let's say the queen when she was alive, okay? If you were asked by the queen to come to the court, she wanted to meet you, she wanted to talk to you, how would you feel, honestly? Do you think you might just tell someone, guess where I'm going next Tuesday? You'll never believe it. Or guess where I was last Tuesday? You'll never believe it. The King of Heaven, God Almighty, is waiting every day for you and me. He's passively waiting. He's just waiting for us to come. Enter into the throne room. Enter into the secret place. Come and spend some time with us. But we have an enemy who wants to steal that time away through the urgency of literally nothing. We get ourselves busy with just about nothing. Seriously. And afterwards, if you were to look back on a day and think, what did I achieve today? Sometimes it's embarrassing because we just didn't manage that commodity of time. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11 says, lest Satan should get advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. That was written thousands of years ago. And what do we call these things nowadays? devices. It's incredible. It's just one of his devices. He's got many devices. But we're so device driven. Go on a bus today and have a look at what people are doing. They're not talking to each other anymore. That conversation's gone. You're not going to go and meet a friend and say, "Hey, hi, I'm Don. How are you doing? Where are you off to today?" No, we're... You know, the silence on the bus, everyone's just headphoned in and deviced in, and we're... You think that's by accident? He's completely and utterly ushering us away from the voice of God. And he does it through stealing it. He does it now. You know what happens when you steal? If I knew the thief was going to get this out of my pocket, I would stop him. But he does it in such a subtle way. It's gone, and I go for my phone, and like I was looking for my glasses before I came up here. Couldn't find them because they're in my pocket. But, you know, it's done so subtly. And your time with God is stolen subtly because you and I don't actively say, "God, I'm not giving this up. I'm taking the first 10, 15 minutes in the morning, and I'm going to just listen to you." Pete Gregg has a great app called Lectio 365. Oh my goodness, what a godsend that was to find. Now in the morning, my stupid brain wants to run to, what they call Reels. You know, I would never watch Reels in the morning, but honestly. I can go to Lectio 365 and just allow God's word to wash over me. I can allow myself to have a prayer and allow that to be lifted up to heaven. And you just set your heart and your mind for what kind of day it's going to be. John 14, the second way that we know. So God, the first way is creation. The second way is the written word. You know this word. So when I come to teach, I'm so aware of his devices. I've got an iPad here. I've got a set of notes. I got the Bible. You know why? Because sometimes he's stolen things from me. Sometimes I go up to preach. You go up to preach and you go for your notes, and it's last week's notes for the preaching that was from another church. You go like, "Whoa, we're in trouble here." And I didn't bother bringing my Bible because, you know, I had it on my notes. And so now I go prepared. I have my devices because it's a fight. I'm going to try and communicate God's word here today through the flesh that I have, through my inability to really communicate. I'm trying to convey God's word to each of us. When I come to preach, I learn more about this preaching story I'm going to talk to you about today than you will ever know. Seriously, I cannot convey what God communicates to me when I come to be able to preach. This is the word that God magnified above his very name. This is so holy and precious to him. It's so precious. And Satan tries to steal the word. Did God really say? Did he? Did God really say? That's his constant question. Do you really think that God could speak to you? Seriously. That God's even interested in you. That God would even bother with you. He'll bother with her and he'll bother with him. But I can't understand why he would bother with you. Those are lies of the enemy. But when we come to the word, the written word of God, it communicates so clearly his love for us, his desire for us. And John 14:10 says, "I am a good shepherd," Jesus says. "I know mine and mine know me." The sheep, even though there were many, many flocks of sheep, the shepherd could speak to his sheep and would watch this separate flock come out and follow that shepherd. I love that. I just want to follow Jesus. I just want to know him. And the fact that he says to me that he wants to know me is incredible. You know that last part of Matthew where they said, "Lord, Lord, we did this in your name, we did that in your name." And he says, "Away from me, I never knew you." Where were you in the morning when the dawn was coming? Were you there to speak to me? Were you there allowing me to see your heart and your passion? Were you talking to me about the tough week you've had? The struggles you've had this week and how much you needed Jesus? That's the Jesus that wants to know you. He wants you to come to read his word, not because I've got to read the word, but I get to read the word. This morning, thank God I'm not in China where one page... They would yearn for just one page of the Bible. Where this meeting of which will be a preach of only about an hour and a half, you know, they, they're willing to go for 3 hours, 4 hours, even after 5 hours, and saying, don't stop, keep preaching, keep preaching. That's the hunger they have. We have to develop a hunger for God's word. If you don't have a hunger for God's word today, ask God for it. That's one thing you can pray for. And then to say, God, give me a passion for your word. And not just to have the word, not just to hold the word, but to give the word. To speak the word. And teach me to speak it so they don't hear me as a Bible basher. But that I can hear sensitively the word that they're speaking to me and how much they need your love. And somehow, God, you're going to allow me to communicate it with all my heart. Now, John 10, verse 27 says, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. That's how we know that we know the Lord. We follow him. Jesus said, I only do the things I hear my Father say. I only do the things I see my Father do. I only speak the words I hear my Father speak. Is that how we speak? Seriously, is that how we speak? Can we so be in so tune with the Father that we're checking in continually? I love the fact you see throughout the whole of the Gospels. And Jesus did this amazing miracle. He feeds the thousands and thousands. And when he should be up going like, what a star, what a star. What does he do? He goes off to a quiet place to pray. He sends his disciples over the water. And you know the funny record is that after he's prayed, he's walking on the water and it's as though he was going to pass them by. You know, it's amazing. I mean, it's like God said, no, you've got to, I want you to go in the boat. I want you to call Peter out. I love the sensitivity, the beauty of a walk with God that's not in the box. A walk with God that just is like, this is the way the meeting was going to be, but this is not the way the meeting's going to be tonight. I just sense God saying, this is how it's going to be. So God wants to communicate with us. You know, relationship is all about sensitivity. It's all about not a head knowledge, it's a heart knowledge. The Pharisees had a head knowledge. If you read the Good Samaritan, the Levite and the priest saw him in his desperation but walked on by. But the Good Samaritan was gripped in his gut. That's what the Greek word said. He was gripped in the second brain, in his gut, and he was forced to come down, to come alongside, to be in proximity, to love, to grip, to see what the person was suffering. His eyes saw it, his heart was just wanting to bind him up and to be able to release him to a newness of life. That's what we're supposed to do. It's not up here. The walk with Jesus is here. It's in our heart. It's that openness to hear the voice. You know, like in a great marriage, we hear our spouse's voice, don't we? Sometimes, you know, I can't believe I have to keep on telling you the same thing. That's sometimes when things are not going so well. But on a good day, I love the fact that I was just thinking I'd love a cup of coffee. And I find Teresa walks in and she gives me a cup of coffee. It's a heart relationship. The third way he wants to speak to us is through the Holy Spirit. Each of us have the Holy Spirit. You know, a revelation. Julian doesn't have a bigger quantity than me or you. He gives us exactly the same amount. We are without excuse. You have the fullness of the Godhead bodily living in you. You can speak in tongues, interpret, prophesy, have a word of knowledge, have a word of wisdom, have discernment of spirits, you can have faith, miracles, and healing. All of that you can have. It's in you. It's not up to you to bring it out. It's up to you to want to have faith to say, God, I want to walk out on that. So you want something to pray for today? Father, I want to just pray tongues. I just want to have a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom. Father, would you build in me faith that I could just do the things maybe my own head brain doesn't believe I could do. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God and take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. We have to take the word of God. We have, through the Holy Spirit, say, Holy Spirit, reveal that, release that in my life. There's nothing passive about the Christian walk. We have to activate. We have to activate the Word of God. You know, someone was saying to me the other day, what is faith? And if I was a younger man, I could tell you, I might be able to remember what he said. He said, faith is stepping out. Faith is simply that first step on a staircase that leads to heaven. You don't know what the heavenly design is. You don't know what is upstairs. But your first thing you do is just got to take a first step. And that's what I would say to you. If you get a thought, a dream, a picture, and just say, I was crazy. It was a picture of a ship. I don't want to talk to them about it. I don't want to go up here and say, I had a picture of a ship. There are many people in the ship. And you give whatever God said to you. You say, oh, they'll think I'm silly. So I'll just hold back. And again, what Satan does is he steals that from you. He takes that opportunity to show the Spirit of God at work, and he steals it from us. The sheep understand and hear his voice. The Word of God says in Matthew 7:7, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you shall find. That's a promise. The fourth way that God teaches us is the prophetic word. If you've ever seen a prophet in action, it's quite a scary thing. I was sitting at Clan in 2004. John Paul Jackson came onto the platform. I never heard of him in my life. He was talking about dreams and things. At the time I said I don't dream dreams. He was all about dream interpretation. But he said, you know, I want to invite John Paul, the prophet, onto the platform. And John Paul came in and he looked across here and he just took time, just took stock from heaven. So I thought he was just listening to God. And he said, over here where this post is, three people, no, not you three. Yes, you, please stand up. He said, I see a red cross above you. Have you anything to do with the medical industry? She says, I'm actually a physician, my wife's a doctor, and this lady's a nurse. This is what God says to you. And boom, off he goes to a prophetic word with him. I've never seen this in my life. Then he spins around and goes, you two men at the back here, this is what the Lord says to you. And I felt the hairs in the back of my head just perk up, and I found myself slipping down in my chair just in case he might just catch me and something I might not be doing. The prophetic word's incredible. I want us to desire that. Do you hunger for it? Just a hunger for a vision, a picture. I have a word. Oh my, I just think it's gorgeous. Part of the fivefold ministry. We talk about the preacher. We talk about the pastor. We talk about the apostle. But the word of the prophetic is so powerful. Throughout the whole of the Old Testament, it's prophet, 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 prophet. You know, and God calling people, calling his people back by the word of the prophet. We need the word of the prophetic. It's a desperate need. And I want us to yearn it. Ask, knock, open the door, God, please. Open the door for me. I want it, God. Ask him. The fifth way is meditation. And this is one, bless you, this one I'm just learning. At my old age of 35, I'm just learning about this, sorry, of 67. I'm learning about meditation. I'm just coming into the secret place and just sitting with God. You know, they say that prayers is a conversation, but I speak all the time. I've been a speaker. Ever since I was a little boy, I was delivered from a terrible stammer at the age of 17. I think I told you about this, but terrible stammer. And when I spoke in tongues, when I came to receive the Holy Spirit, I just remember saying to this person, I can't believe I just spoke in tongues. It's the first sentence I put together. He said, what did you say? I said, I can't believe I just spoke. And I said, I could hear myself saying a full sentence without I broke into tears. God wants to do miracles in us. That was a miracle. It released me. And ever since that age, I've never been able to keep quiet. And God, I think, sometimes would say, Donald, if you just stop. stop talking. I might be able to tell you what you seem to be pestering me about all the time. Just be silent. Listen. Listen. We have so much to learn from people who have lived a life of silence. And maybe many of the other Christian churches have looked upon these reflective people and maybe didn't quite get them. I was at a pastor's prayer, which we were at the other week, over 200 pastors, we were praying. D.L. Moody said that the Church of God is like a multicolored tapestry of different hues and threads and colors. Oh my goodness, they were in the room. There was every hue and color and vibrance you've ever seen. There was those who were just quietly trying to find God, and those who were honestly, if I thought God needed some of these, and they've been called down from heaven. God, I'm calling you. We need you now. I saw God had a hearing problem. God hears us in the still silence of the moment. When you open up the Word of God, go to any verse, better is one day in your courts and 1,000 elsewhere. Father, teach me. What does that mean, Father? That I could dwell with you for one day. It's better than 1,000 days out there in La La Land, out there in the craziness of the world. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord. Just whatever word it is, a word that God magnified above his name. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Psalm 139. Psalm 34 says, turn away from evil and do good, seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are towards the righteous, and his ear toward their cry. The sixth way. And I only got this week, so this is kind of fresh bread to me, okay? But I've always sort of known it. It's that God wants to teach you. It's a knowing in your knower. Ever heard that phrase? It's a knowing in your knower. Love that. And I thought, wow, I get that, God, that you put the conscience in man, and you know, you just know when you're doing wrong, don't you? You know, even as a kid, you think, I really shouldn't take that apple that granny left there. It might be her apple, but you find something in your pocket and you walk off. You know there's something wrong. You know it in your knower. And then I went to Eugene Peterson's The Message. I want to read this to you because it's so beautiful. Romans chapter 2, verse 14, in The Message, it says, when outsiders who have never heard of God's law follow it more or less by instinct, they confirm its truth by their obedience. They show that God's law is not something alien imposed on us from without, but woven into the very fabric of our creation. There is something deep within them that echoes God's yes and no, right and wrong. Their response to God's yes and no will become public knowledge on the day that God makes his final decision about every man and woman. The message from God that I proclaim through Jesus Christ takes into account all of these differences. Isn't that amazing? In their knower, in their very head, they know what's right and wrong. And we're in a world now that know right and wrong, but they're running from God. They're absolutely running from God. But we're here to call them back. We're here to commission them. The seventh way is by angels. Now, you know, many of these things we can pray into being, but angels, that's really God's. That's God's job. If you're lying in bed one night and suddenly there's a glow in the room and there's an angel at the end of the bed, I'm not sure I could take that. I'm not sure my heart could take that. But maybe God would give me a heart that could take it. But angels can come. They can declare, like they did to so many shepherds were tending the flocks at night. Boom, the angel came. Joseph, when he was told, you've got to take Mary to be your wife, even though you might be thinking of a bill of divorcement. So angels are another incredible way of God speaking. Finally, dreams and visions. Every single one of us dreams every night. You say, well, I'm not a dreamer. I used to say that. I dreamt about being here this morning, last night. But what you weren't, you were not wearing the red shirt I saw you wearing, but that was my dream. It was just, and those little moments of time, you just, as you're waking up, you're just picking up that dream, and then it seems to just dissipate, doesn't it? Until God gives you a dream. So I'm going to close with this one story. 2004, I saw John Paul Jackson for the first time. In 2012, I was asked and invited to come and be, to oversee, or to come alongside, at the time it was, the executive team of New Wine here in Scotland. They said, "You're a business mentor, could you come alongside us and tell us what's gone wrong? We've lost about £250,000 in the last event that we did." I'd like to say that's your problem and just walk away, but I said, okay. And so every month I would meet with the executive team and we'd go through a few things and pray and do the things, but then we'd also talk about what had happened. And every month I would give them a report, and the last month I was to give them a report. It was a final report, showing them this is the person you're looking for to lead you forward for the next while. 2 nights before, I dreamed a dream. Oh my goodness, did I dream a dream. It was color. It was noise. It was before the throne of God. It was God's voice, and I bolted up in bed, and I woke, and I remember waking Teresa. I said, "Teresa, I've just had a dream." And she said, "Okay." And I was wanting to tell her all about it, but I think we were maybe both wanting to go back to sleep. And I went back to sleep, and in the morning I could remember the dream, everything about that dream. That next night I went to bed again, and boom, like it was a videotape, like a DVD running again, the exact same dream comes back to me. And it was, and again I bolted up in bed and I woke up Teresa, and she was up. By this time she's thinking, maybe less of the cheese before you go to bed, darling. But it was horrific. I was sweat, I could feel the sweat coming down. When I went to see this chair, the chair of Klein, the chair of New Wine, and I gave him that last report, I said, "This is what I think, this is the person you're looking for." He said, "Don, have you not had any," he's going to take me through the whole thing, "have you not had anyone speak to you about coming with us on this journey?" I said, "No. Have you not had a prophetic word over you to come with us on this journey?" I said, "No. No." Because I didn't want to do it. I honestly didn't want to do it. I was on this much salary, knowing I was going to go into this much salary. I had no intention of ever doing anything and leading any type of group like New Wine. And then he said to me this, "Have you dreamed a dream?" I said, "Wow, that's naughty, that's bad. Have I dreamed a dream? The man who doesn't dream dreams." I said, "Yes, I dreamed a dream." I told him the dream, and he said, "That's God saying that you need to come and be with us." And I stopped what I was doing and came and was with them for several years. What made me live? A dream. I dreamed a dream. And this dream was so vivid and so right. And someone on the executive team had dreamed the exact same dream. It was confirmed. And then I left. And a year later, New Wine was laid down in a very beautiful way. Dreams are so real. Why don't you ask God for a dream? Why don't you ask God for the things we've spoken about today? We've talked about all the different ways that God wants to speak to us. And as I close here, I just want us to settle down. I want us to close our eyes. I want to do some work with the Lord. I want us that we just ask God this day to be not just another Sunday, not just another day at church, but Father, may this be a day that you could impart to us something. Something that we've been asking for. Asking God that you would just release to us. Father, we just want to come to you today. And Lord, by the power of the Holy Spirit, I just want to ask, Father, would you speak into our hearts this morning? Would you allow the things that we have been yearning for, desiring, to just become real, God, in our hearts and our lives? Father, we allow the word to just become so much bigger, so much more powerful, with so much more vibrance, Father, as we read it. Would you allow us to see the beauty of the invitation of being invited into the holy space? meditation be all about you, God. May the thought of your word fill our minds. May they fill our hearts. We cannot but speak the things, God, that we've seen and we've heard from your word. Father, give us boldness just to walk with you. Boldness to believe that you are God who loves us. That you've not left us, God. That you've not assigned yourself to someone else and not us. But Father, would you just show yourself strong on our behalf? Would you allow us to know you, God, in the depth of our knower? Yes. That we know that you so, so love us. Father, maybe some of us feel distant from you today. Would you draw us close, God? Yes. Maybe for those of us who feel we might know you, would you show us, Father, the depth of your knowledge? Bring us into the depth of all of you, who you are, God. That we may taste and see that indeed the Lord is good. And his goodness has been extended to us. Father, we just ask for this. We ask that you would show us what, by whatever means, Father, that you are God and we are not. Teach us your ways, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.